Kevin went to the Kardashian Christmas party, and he thinks that we don't watch the show on TV. We had Nichelle Nichols, Kev's fancy was tickled. New year, new show. Welcome to 2017.
New media, the final frontier. These are the broadcasts of the Tomorrow Show. Its mission, to befriend fellow nocturnals, escapists, and dreamers. Not to mention angry loners, the socially inept, and those with Peter Pan syndrome. To boldly go where no broadcast has gone before. The Tomorrow Show with Kevin Undergaro. Your overnight broadcast featuring one celebrity boyfriend's midlife crisis, millennials in Star Trek costumes, and so much more. The underdog's best friend. And all you need is a smartphone or access to the internet. Here's the captain of your tomorrow, Kevin Undergaro!
And the way the sunlight plays upon her head. On the wind that lifts her perfume through the air. I'm picking up good vibrations.
Would we say that's 2017, Roxy Stryer? Good vibrations?
I think we would, Kev.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Christian Blatt, would you say?
I'm feeling good vibrations already.
Host of the Trump Report.
That's right.
So you'd be the
great
one I'd
vibrations
ask.
For Trump Nation. Very happy.
We're back, you guys. It's Monday. It's the Tomorrow Show 2017 edition. Apologize for being away. A lot of scams. Mostly good scams. But you know what? You get your bad scams, you get your good scams. Let's hope that 2017 is the greatest scam of them all. Over at the social media desk, Ashley Grace Daniels.
Hi, Kev.
How's your little cute desk looking? How's it feeling over there?
I love my cute desk. Can you hear me?
I do.
You can? Okay, great.
I hear you.
I also hear you.
You do? Okay, perfect.
Christian Blatt sitting in with us, and of course Roxy Stryer over at the Tomorrow Show bar. Happy New Year, people.
Happy New Year, Kev.
Happy New Year.
Party people.
Happy New Year, people of the Tomorrow Show. In the booth. Lauren LeGrasso.
What's up, Kev?
And of course, bonjour, Juliette. Comment ça va, Juliette?
Bonjour. Heureux d'être de retour.
Ah, ooh. Oui. Mm-hmm. Ooh la la. Zach Wilson, I know, is in there.
Hey, Kevin. Well, oh. Glad to be back. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. You know, it's nice. We started the show with some good New Year sentiment. Two of our two crew members of the Tomorrow Show.
Three.
Two members of the, what were you going to say?
Three.
Three what? You didn't even know what I was going to say.
She's saying there's three not here.
No. Two, well, again, because you're not letting me finish. Two members of the Tomorrow Show just got gainfully employed. I'm very, it made my night. Very happy. Zach Wilson. You know, Zach's a great writer. And, you know, he's got a lot of projects going on. We brought him to AfterBuzz. We taught him how to use the TriCaster, taught him the Undergaro principles of diversification, and now Geek and Sundry. But Zach, can I even announce this?
Yeah, I was told that I'm allowed to talk about it.
What if he had said no?
Oh, I don't know. I would have. Well, we would stop the show down.
That's so awesome, Zach.
But yeah, I'm going to be joining the Geek and Sundry Twitch team as a technical director.
So excited. This is the sister company to Nerdist, and it's a huge opportunity. And
huge shout out to Zach. He published a comic book over the break, Kid Cop.
Which is hilarious.
Yeah, I loved
it. And amazing.
Awesome.
Zach, I never told you. Zach, I gave it to you, the issue back, only because I know how expensive it is to self-publish. And, you know, I read it. I loved it. I'm in. Whatever you need me to do to help, I will. But I wanted you to have the copy back. But, yeah, congrats on that as well.
It is available on Comixology. To search for Kid Cop. It's only 99 cents.
No, and it's great. And, you know, you're supporting Zach. You're supporting, you know, struggling artists out there. And, yeah, there's definitely something there, Zach, too, for a future with that thing.
Oh, yeah. It's a really fun story. We have, like, 10, like, issues or episodes like mapped out. It's very violent. I will warn you.
It is, but it's hilarious. So I think it offsets it with the comedy. But again, another AfterBuzz success story. So just really happy, Zach. It was just got a little emotional, Roxy, with him in the screening room because I know the struggle. And you know, Zachy's one of the good ones. So I think and I think knowing Hardwick and what he's done with Nerdist and who's the girl that runs Geek and Sundry?
Geek and Sundry was founded by Felicia Day, or right. is one of the people who founded that company.
And so I think, you know, again, there's a good spirit there. And a lot of times, you know, I say this all the time, whether it's a TV show or a company, it often takes on the personality of the owner or the person running it. And so I think you're going to have great experiences over there.
I don't know any other boss who would be as amazing as you are that would be saying such incredible things, especially in this industry. Kevin, I think that should be acknowledged.
Oh, well, that he's losing, that I'm losing one of my best engineers.
But it's amazing. Zach's amazing. So.
Yeah, but, you know, here's the thing. It's funny. X-Pac, who's not here tonight. He's a shout out to X-Pac 12360. If you're a fan of wrestling podcasts, I'm not just saying it because we produce it. It's the best. I listen to all of them, and I will shout out to Stone Cold, which he's phenomenal. Jericho's phenomenal. Ric Flair's phenomenal. Those are my favorites. But X-Pac to me, it just fires on all cylinders because he's so honest. But built around his show are some outstanding AfterBuzz producers and co-hosts. Jimbo Slice, at Jimbo in the Booth is just the biggest wrestling geek. Like, he knows every fact about wrestling all the way back to like the late 70s and up till today. And he adds so much to the show. And then Christy Olsen, who's following in the footsteps of Kathy Kelly, who's now with WWE and started AfterBuzz, is a just something new altogether in a voice of wrestling. You know, to have a female, almost a, I wouldn't say, you know, Sean's the host of the show, but she is probably the announcer. You know, maybe she's the Ed McMahon. I'm dating myself, but she's the...
Is she the Robin Quivers? Is that fair to say?
No, because she actually leads, she'll open the show, and opens it with all this great energy and enthusiasm, and she's beautiful, and it's just... It's such a great team, and Sean was like, "God, Kevin, I'm nervous. They're so good. What happens when we lose them? Meaning WWE or whatever." I said, "No, Sean, that's the goal. We want to see them go on, and we'll, you know, you're the star. You're the one who's amazing, Sean. I mean, but we'll get other people and we'll groom them and we'll build them. But Rox, to your point, you know, when you have that philosophy as a company and as a boss." And you make it really try to make it as good as you can on your employees. It's easy to replace them because people go, "Hey, I hear it's a really great place to work."
That's true.
And look, Kathy Kelly went in and she grinded. And now she's at WWE. And Zach came in and he didn't even know anything about a TriCaster, and now he's over at Geek and Sundry. And do you know what I'm saying? It's a. I know it's a newer philosophy for business. I think it's the only one that works with millennials, to be honest. But I don't do it for that reason. I do it just makes sense. And just when you're happy for other people and other people's success, it will come back to you. And the people
process.
Who aren't like that, you know, we just try not to have them around. And I think that we've had about 1,000 hosts go through AfterBuzz, Ash. And we were talking about this on our car ride to Vegas. We did this. We were at CES, and we'll talk about that a little later. But we were talking about, you know, we've literally had maybe one, probably two bad apples. And maybe even one that's kind of gone like next level bad with us out of 1,000 kids. And when you think of Americans and how it's about get rich fast, and you think of millennials who are so entitled, we've had such a great track record. And I just think it's because of that philosophy, you know, and it's not easy to do. It's certainly more expensive to run a company that way. But I think in the long run, you're better off.
I think a big portion of that is the fact that you take the time to meet with each one of us. And I know you're big on doing that versus the way that most companies work, which is let's just give you a piece of paper and tell you how you're doing. So, you know, you're holding our hand along the way.
Well, those reviews, companies do reviews. And instead of doing that review is so judgmental rather than, hey, let's go over, you know, what you achieved this year. And what we want to achieve next year. And then let's talk about, okay, where some of your weaknesses are, how do we fix that? You know, it's a different way of looking at it. But anyway, I'm excited. And then also Christian.
Yes, sir.
From our so we were talking about on the show how we had Brandon Pinvidich on as a guest, and time was running off the clock. Karen was saying, "Get in the house, get in the house, get in the house," and it's increasingly more pressure on me to finish the show and go in and be fiance. So I had to leave the studio, but I said, "Rox, you're going to close this deal for between Brandt and Christian, because Brandt is president of STX Unscripted, huge company, and they're doing a lot of amazing things. I'm like, you got to make it happen, like, you know, and you did."
She sold those beads to Indians. Right. I mean, it was amazing. She was so good at it.
And any, like, infected blankets? Or no, it was just the beads?
No. The infected blankets we actually had destroyed afterwards, you know. So there's no smallpox here in the Tomorrow Show, SS Tomorrow Show. No. But she, Roxy was the MVP that night. And
you're an easy sell, Christian.
Oh, yes, I am. I met with Brandt in December, and he knew what it was going to be, but he had to talk to some people, get it all hammered out, and I started today, actually, working on a documentary for him and some other things he has coming up.
That's great.
Awesome.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
No, and thank you, Brandt. And you have to do your part back. So I know Brandt, who's got a big following, and he's got this brand, you know, why I'm not on Facebook, why I'm not on Pokemon.
Right.
And he wants to do it as a podcast. And so I'm like, well, you know what? You hooked up Christian, so that's right. Well, you can absolutely use the studios, and we'll get your podcast going as soon as possible. In fact, I did text him, Christian, so you know.
Okay.
So,
yeah. We're going to head over there tomorrow, actually.
Great. That's exciting. And I think Stephen Lemieux, a boy in his 20s from Popcorn Talk, should be the point guy. On a side note, that doesn't really need to be said right now. I don't know why I said
just
it.
Just thinking about it.
Great shout out for Stephen Lemieux, a boy in his 20s. People always want to know. We
Good
talk about
him
it once in a while.
Speaking of a boy in his 20s, my Jim Norton, Sam Roberts show shout out.
206-103.
On Sirius XM, 8 to 11 Eastern Standard Time. And the show just gets stronger and stronger if you have Sirius. My God. They're really finding their groove. But it's interesting because Adrian, who produced, I know, they're hilarious. They're hilarious together.
I
know.
Together.
And they continue to grow. And Sam is doing more with Fox and Red Eye. It's funny. Remind me, Sam had a great take on 2016 too, Rox. Remind me about 2016 and the controversial views on it. But Adrian, his producer, is in his early 20s. And
I love him.
I know. And we know that you and he rolled around a little bit.
Yeah.
You
nipples. There are some nipples.
I have them. It's true.
Oh, boy.
I've never seen proof of that, Roxy.
It's just always.
Not many have.
It's just, you know, Roxy and I. We just, it's one of the few people that probably can say, you know, we got off on the right foot. You and I never went there.
I know.
We never went to anything physical, not even flirting, not even.
Even when I try to get you to do Creepy Boss to me, you won't.
It's
like,
just,
I'm the one person. He won't even pretend.
We got off on the right foot. That's all I can say.
Even I've gotten a massage from Creepy Boss. Yeah. Nothing.
You guys have a little flirty.
And a shout out to Lame Supervisor, too. I've gotten a lot of good feedback on Lame Supervisor.
He took a month vacation, Lame Supervisor.
Lame Supervisor might have hit on me, but not Creepy Boss.
But Adrian, it's interesting to hear about his dating life. It looks like he got his first porn star, Mary Jean.
Nice.
Mary Jean.
So Mary Jean is a porn star, and she contributes to Sam. She used to contribute to Sam's show, and Sam has such a lot of great talent that he nurtured on Sam Roberts' show, but incubating them slowly into Jim and Sam, because Jim and Sam's a new brand, and this is why, like, Sam is just, God, he's like a 60-year-old in a 30-year-old's body. He's so smart. But he's taking his time. But Mary Jean, I guess, just made the booty call to Adrian. And Adrian, you know, late at night, she texts him, what are you doing? He's like, you know, basically like waiting for you to come over. Like, he went for
nice.
It.
Nice.
And
yeah.
And I think he even went so far to say, you going to sleep over? Like, he went for it. And
kid's got game.
He's got game.
Yeah. I'm a little jealous right now.
No, I know you would be.
Yeah.
No, I knew you would be. And you know something? I told you, with Adrian and you, Adrian's drinking milk.
What does that mean?
Do you remember that ad?
Is this a nipples thing again?
No, 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 no. Do you remember, Christian, do you remember the ad? But I'm drinking milk.
I'm drinking milk. And
one day.
Getting stronger. And then it's sort of like the middle one is, a high school kid who's a little bit worked out. And then he's like all jacked up.
Go to YouTube and find that. See if we can find the gut milk commercials. But it was basically like it was the young kid trying to hit on the girls a couple of years older than him. He's like, I know you're not into me now, but I'm drinking milk. And one day I'm going to be, big and strong and cool, I don't know if this is the one. But anyway, I always said that with Adrian. Adrian's drinking milk. No, it wouldn't be this one. This is the Aaron Burr ones. But anyway, I knew that with you and Adrian. I knew it was just –
You set that up.
Yeah. No, but I knew that you'll see in 10 years, Adrian's game is developing. It'll be a little different. Right now you had the hand. You had the upper hand. That's going to change.
You think I won't have the upper hand at some point? Oh, you don't think much of my career, Kev.
No, you're right. You're right. No, you're right. You will have the upper hand. Here's the thing. I'm playing the long game, I'm playing the long game here. And with the long game, it's just guys and girls, it's just tough,
Because guys get more and more handsome as they get older.
They get more powerful.
That is so true,
and
by the
young.
Way.
Well, thank you. And the young
girls, you are so hot. You know that.
But the younger girls.
You guys are amazing.
But you can charm them. You've developed the skills, and that's what it is. It's not. But no, Rox, I bet on you. But I knew he was going to get stronger.
Yeah.
Anyway, he showed game with this Mary Jean chicken. Next thing you knew, he had three fingers in his ass.
Three?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, there we go.
I want to stop it, too.
Here we go. Make it louder. Here we go. This is Roxy and Adrian.
Wow.
Sam Roberts Show.
I'd like to meet you, but I'll bet you're hoping for a hug.
There's Adrian.
And all I've got
there's
to
Roxy.
Offer is sensitivity, intelligence,
Roxy.
And charm.
I'm drinking milk, though, and for the next couple seasons, I'll be working out. Milk's about the best thing I can drink.
See,
right
he's
now
becoming a stud.
Strong arms, powerful legs, and a broad chest. And when all my work is done, will you love me just for my body?
I can live with that.
There you go. There's Adrian.
Damn, Adrian.
So, ended up getting three fingers in his ass. He didn't want to take the fist.
She asked or she tried?
She wanted a fist.
Not on the first date. You got to work up to the fist.
Is it okay to ask you guys something? Like the guys in here? Why do guys like that?
What, the fist in the ass?
Yeah.
Because they have something in there.
There's a G-spot in there.
But a fist?
Yeah. There's a G-spot in there that will somehow penetrate the prostate. Right?
Yeah.
I don't know the biology that well.
Milking the prostate, so I'm told.
I mean, you can't have acrylic nails on and do that. You'd get like
You're thinking about it from the girl's standpoint, which I would never.
You would wash your hands after.
They'd be
I would
under
hope.
Your fingernails. They'd be.
You'd be one of the bitchy girls that does the glove.
You're kidding.
There's a glove technique?
No, I'm just. I've never had that.
You've seen that? Somebody will put on a glove before they're like in the middle of sex, Kev.
What do you guys think of Mary Jean?
Very hot.
Oh, my God. So
good for Adrian. That's what I can say.
I can't look.
Why?
I'm a little jealous.
Oh, right. She's really hot.
Thank you, Ash.
It was just – but here's what was funny. It was funny as, just the whole late night hooking up. He tells the story. And then Jim Norton tells a story last night it was the night of the Globes. He did a Tinder with some 20-something, and he tells the story where he goes over to her place and then it's like another girl there and they're getting a hair the girl's having her hair dyed and then the millennial girl goes be funny let me Tinder someone else to come over so another guy comes over and then Jim's hanging around with this and then
because she was trying to have a threesome
I don't know it was like she was like it'll be funny and then Jim drives home like kind of leaves angry and then she texts him back and says I'm sorry that was stupid. You want to come back over? He goes back over. And it was just so funny because it's like Jim's like living the ultimate Peter Pan syndrome. He's 49 and just not much different between him and Adrian in their games. And I don't know. Just makes me want to be in my 20s again. Sorry.
Yeah, I get that. It's interesting.
Do you miss it now that you're settled down?
I had this conversation.
You're wifed up?
I had this conversation this week with Ben. It was interesting. Ben and I were out at the bar. We went to one of those trendy bars in L.A. where it's a lot of people.
Holla.
You have to get your name on the list first.
Nice.
And I was thinking about it. What if I was still living that lifestyle? Because, she's going to get so mad at me. I'm about to rat on Abby for a second here.
Oh.
We'll say today.
Slabby.
This is how it came up. Slabby came out with me for New Year's.
Look at this, Scabby.
Look at Slabby.
By the way, you guys looked adorable.
Thank you. Scabby came out with me for New Year's, and she said to me, I said, where are you going to stay at the end of the night? Where are you going to stay? And she said, I'll stay with wherever I end up. You know, I said, you can stay with me at Ben's. She was like, wherever I end up. And I was setting up with a friend of mine.
Great scam.
And I used to be like that too. You know, wherever I ended up, if I was making out with this guy, I'd sleep over there. If I was doing this. But, you know, you don't have sex with the person. And she didn't. But I remember that life. And would I want to still live that is the question. Would I still want to be in my early 20s? I don't think so.
As if you're old, you're mid-20s.
Yeah. Well, I don't mean that actual age. I mean that mindset, that lifestyle.
I will say this for you, Rox. It would be counterproductive to all the great things you're achieving, the growth you're having as a human being. For you, it would be counterproductive.
It's challenging. It's challenging to manage that life. Like, it's hard
to... Well, the first thing I thought of with Jimmy and going back and forth in the cab, I'm like, I am so glad I am not in that game.
Right.
You know, I am so glad I'm not in that game.
Because, Kevin, you've been there, too. I mean...
In my 20s.
Absolutely. Do you miss that at all?
I think sometimes you miss it because of the Peter Pan thing. You just miss being a little kid. It was tiring. It was annoying. But you miss the, you miss the snow day. Does that make sense?
It does make sense.
You miss like the night before school and it's snowing and you go, you know what?
I can do whatever I want.
Yeah, I can take over the world.
But as you look back, of course, you remember all the great parts, you know?
Right.
So if you could actually live in that moment again, you'd be like, oh, no, this was actually, you know, great moments,
yeah, right.
Peaks and valleys. But boy, those valleys are probably a lot lower than
but
you remember.
But when you think of all the work, Jimmy, his successful comedian, all the work he was putting in back and forth and and he's in a room with three civilians. That made me go, you know what? Nah.
But is it counterproductive for somebody like him who then has a platform to tell the story and use that for his comedy?
No. And so, listen, I've had older men who are successful say to me, I remember one time I was in my early, I just started dating Maria, and I said, you know, why is it that I feel like if I just went back to being a drunken womanizer, my life would get better? And this guy, Ron Peretti, this guy who always mentored Marie and I, and, you know, shout out to Ron Peretti, mailboxes, et cetera, Winchester. No, he was great, but his little store, he would say, treat this as your production office. We made our films. Great guy.
Oh, my God.
We talk every year. And Ron said, this is not Ron Peretti.
Ron.
That's a young.
I thought you said.
Yeah, it's Ron. No, it's Ron. This is a wrong Ron Peretti. But I like it. He's
this
a good,
fellow's
I
mean, handsome.
He looks really nice.
He's a good understudy.
Good face, yeah.
But I said, Ron, why do I think that being a drunken womanizer in my life would get better? And he said, because it would. I said, what? No, what? Why are you telling me that? He said, listen. He said, because you're out there, you're chasing after it. So you're in the hunt. You're in the thick of things. He's like, you're urgent. And you're not complacent. You're on the balls of your feet. He goes, and then... Boy, if you hit the target and you get laid, boom, now your ego's built and you're feeling even better. And it's more, you know, but I will also, so I think in the short run, but then I think in the long run, that lifestyle's very tiring.
So tiring.
And for me, because it wasn't really in me to be a womanizer, I had to get so drunk to do it. So now you're dealing with sleep deprivation, hangovers, guilt, like it just was messy. And success came to me when I got with Maria. So it depends on the person. I've seen more partners actually hold people back, but I've been very honest with all of you guys, you know, and, you know, Christian, your wife seems very supportive of your dream. Ben and you are in sync. Rich and Ashley are great together for career wise. You know, I hate to be like that, but I'm pretty honest. We're blessed, everyone here. But for the most part, well, more than half the time, I see the partners, guy and girl, hold the other person back, and but, I think for Jimmy, you're right. For his little adventure he's on, for his comedy, his lifestyle, I think it's better for him. But then I think Sam, it's better to have. Look at Jess. I mean, Sam Roberts, like Jess is like the perfect corporate wife.
It's perfect. Then their dynamic is
slash
so
producer.
Perfect.
Yes,
everything. But you know, there's also. I mean, it's. I mean, speaking of me, it's great for me. But it's also. I don't know how
tough
I'm gonna be when I'm 60.
You.
I mean, I'm already feeling like
At
13, oh my God, I'm missing out on everything. Like, and I feel that all the time.
Well, what Kevin and I just talked about and what everybody else in the room could probably talk about is the experience of being young in your 20s and sleeping around, or if not sleeping around, ending up in a place you don't know. You didn't have that ever, so it is a little different.
Here's what I think, though. I think we can deliver you that experience without the sex.
But why? Why can't I have it with the sex?
Oh, I don't know. Well, that's up to me.
I'm just kidding. No, but I know what you're
saying.
But
I think you can live that adventure.
And, how, Kevin?
Well, we've already had teases of it. Like, I've had her at the AfterBuzz pool party this year. I was like, I gotta go. Mm-hmm. I'm like, where are you going? Just chill. You're with family and friends. You can throw up on yourself here. You'll get put in one of the bedrooms. Like, if there's ever a time where you feel safe. And then how many nights after tomorrow should we say, let's go for drinks? No, I gotta go.
But now I smoke weed. It's great. I mean, I smoked weed.
But you know what? And I'm seeing it, and you're starting to enjoy it.
I definitely am. And the more I do it, I can feel myself wanting to do it more.
Yeah.
So I'm like, God, I'm going to be like, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen
to me. Again, don't think. Less think, more do. You're fine.
I like it.
You know,
I like that
fine.
Scenario.
Live a little bit.
Get drunk.
You know, but anyway, I also want, you know, and I wonder too if Sam didn't experience that in his 20s, but he has a very old soul. He's like Maria, because Maria shot it down pretty young with me. But I think the difference, Ash, is that Maria gets to live that life. She's flirting. She's out last night. She was at the
She was at the WME Golden Globes
party.
Oh, she looked stunning.
Dancing.
Do we have a picture of her?
And she came home. Oh my God, reeking. Yeah, see if we have a picture.
Oh my God, this
she
white
home,
dress,
like,
stunning.
Smelling so bad of booze and smoke. She's like, well, it's like a Wiz Khalifa that was smoking pot all over me. I'm like,
really?
And
I was shocked, Kevin. I've never seen her post a picture with a drink in her hand, and she had one in her hand, and I was like, ooh, living on the edge, Maria.
What about all the pictures from
Mexico?
It's like, you know what? I just see Maria and I go, God, how the fuck did I pull that ass? Seriously, even after all these years, I go, really?
Yeah, she's stunning.
And but, you know, she was, you know, so she went and she had fun, you know, and then there was another thing, too. Earlier in the night, she was sick and she's in physical pain. She's so down with her mom. And, you know, I said, Maria, I said, just go tonight. Go with Dimitri. Go out and see your friends and enjoy your life. Enjoy this business. And you'll see, you'll feel better. And so many times, guys, adrenaline, God, it's like people don't talk enough about it. It's how athletes, like, oh, how did he look at them dancing? That's so crazy. I guess that she had all of WME going nuts dancing. She had the Huffs and about 20 other stars they pulled on the dance floor going nuts. But, yeah, she came home this morning and then had to get up early to do her serious show. And she's like, yeah, you know what? I even was a little hungover, but had she stayed in bed sick, she probably would have still been sick today. So, you know, sometimes you get that blast of adrenaline and that makes you better.
And
you know, there's times where you push yourself too far. But, well, you know... you know, Rox, we were talking about this earlier, just a little, you know, the whole, brings me up to what John Taffer calls AI, artificial identity, not artificial intelligence, artificial identity. And so we see all these great pictures of Maria, you know, living the life. And even on her show this morning, Lauren, you and her were talking about, you know, and then I took my parents to the designer and we picked out the dress for the event and then we went. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, wow, people at home just must believe that you have this amazing fairy, that you have this, which you do have an amazing fairy tale life.
But that nothing is
but
wrong.
But you're living that 24/7. And I'm saying to myself, God, you know, 2 hours before that party, she was bawling her eyes out and saying, I can't do this anymore, Kevin.
Before the WME Christmas party? I mean,
before the Globes. I can't do it anymore. You know, I can't even believe my mom, what's happening. And you know, I'm tired of the cruelty in the business, you know, between the guys and girls, hosts and producers who are so jealous and vicious. You know, if your name is Seacrest and you're a guy, you get everything. You're a girl, you know. I mean, listen, there was someone in that end of the business who came up to me crying because she started a blog and they suspended her for a week. It's just like, you know, and there I go, okay, there's Ryan on Fox. Okay. Oh, there he is on ABC doing New Year's Eve. Oh, look, there he is on E. Then he shows up on NBC, and it's like, and by the way, and I think, and it's great for Ryan, and it's great because it should be opening the doors for everyone else, but for the women, it's not. And so poor Maria, you know, she's just, and I'm like, you know, go Maria, there's ebbs and flows, ups and downs for everybody. And this morning I said, you know, I want you to remember that, how much fun you had at that party last night. Remember that because, you know, these are the gifts you're getting in the present that you need to enjoy today. And remember in those down moments. But it really made me think about that. And Ash, you're always bringing this up to me about the fake Instagram life, right? That everybody.
Oh, yeah.
So this artificial identity everybody mm-hmm. puts out there. Mm-hmm. And I realize if I would look at all my pictures, it's the Trans Am, it stars here at the Tomorrow Show. It's all you guys who are like tens. You know what I mean? It's like. Yeah. And,
thank you.
But that's yes. And you do French sports. And you know what? And look, there's Stallone and there's Maria and we're at the Kardashians and you know,
Danny Partridge. You're hanging out with everybody.
And there's me in Mexico with Maria. Thanks. And goddamn, someone called the paparazzi and got us on the beach. And like my friends from home were like, "You're in the Daily Mail again. Don't read the comments." I'm like, ugh, just leave me alone, will you?
They're just jealous because everybody. Does not look like you at your people age, and that's
very,
just what it
people
is.
Are very
sorry.
Dark. People
not
very
sorry.
Dark. Oh, no, I think I had the man bod.
You and Maria are both so hard on yourself, but I think you're absolutely being insane.
I don't want to
I know you
compliments.
Don't,
and we want,
but it's
yeah,
true.
And Kelly spoke to me about this last night, too, Kelly Knezovich.
With fake lives on fake
Yeah, I want to go back to AI for a second.
Yeah, go back to AI.
Because I'm a little confused. Is it something that you think is a problem, or is it something that
no,
you're
I
just
think
recognizing?
It's a problem. I think I'm recognizing it, and it's a problem for everybody because we're all putting this out there.
So what should people in Maria's shoes be doing? Taking pictures of themselves crying and saying...
No. Realize, no, it's not that Maria needs to do anything different or I need to do it different other than realize with ourselves and anyone, friends or fans looking at those Instagrams to realize... That is not a 100% accurate depiction of any of our lives.
So not take social media for fact when we're looking at pictures of the Jenners.
But you're an extremely rare person, because, sorry, because no one else says that.
No, I know, but it's becoming an epidemic. And what it is, guys, is it's setting everybody up to fail because no one can live that life.
Exactly.
So when you're seeing everyone on living like that, you go, I can't never have mm-hmm. that, so why bother? You know, and it's like I just think being aware of artificial identity and be aware yourself to not get sucked into it, you know, that this is who I am, and being aware of other people's lives that you just trust me, you just don't know the pain that everyone is going through. My God, look at Mariah Carey. Do you think that that's a happy person?
Definitely not.
Not even on December 30th, she wasn't that happy, and you know she's less happy now. Go ahead.
Honestly, I don't think she even realizes it. I don't think she's at that point yet.
No, you know what it is? Because she's so probably champagned out and sedated. Mm-hmm. But eventually, I feel like it's just a matter of time before the wheels come off the wagon.
Right.
And something really tragic.
Right, but she
happens.
Keeps enough people around her that are keeping.
Well, they all
her
do because you want
distracted
because
from
you want to continue that. Facade,
exactly.
That artificial life,
right.
And that, you know.
I don't think she has the opportunity.
And
to really
what's sad is, we went and looked at some old videos of her, Marie and I, and just seeing her when she was back, like fresh off being a hairdresser, Ash, and seeing her sing back in the day, and that spirit, unfortunately, between all the fame and everyone catering to her, and then, you know, when the high of show business isn't enough, you have to seek that high mm-hmm. through other means. And we've had guests here that I don't want to even mention because I don't want to sell them out that we're totally fucked up here and on something, alcohol, drugs, or both. And it's the same thing. Yeah. It's because the high of the fame is not enough. Even younger than this. This is still great.
Yeah,
if you look
up, she did Vision of Love on Saturday Night Live in 1990. That's very much the beginning of her career. It's almost unrecognizable. You know, her voice was perfect at that point.
And you know, if she had the strength or the courage and wanted to face the pain and someone could get with her right now, it could be fixed.
Yeah,
but
I think
But it would suck at first to go through it.
Right, because at this point, she has a yacht, she has the TV show, she's had millions and millions of dollars.
You've
she's
just lost,
engaged
you,
to a
right.
billionaire. There's nothing left for her to grab. She has had it all.
Right.
And now she's just, you're just, there's
yeah, but
nothing
I would,
left
you know what I would
want.
Offer her? Is how she what she can now do for other people.
Yeah.
And that would
like
totally
say, when you do things for other
What's
people.
That?
I don't think she has any interest in
but
that.
But like you say, when you do things for other people, you actually feel good
That's
yourself.
Right.
So she would feel
no,
good.
No, I don't think she would. I don't think she'd give a shit.
I think she would.
I really do think she would. We would have to clear her head. You know what I'm saying? You'd have to get her head clear. She couldn't be medicated in any way. If you could get her head clear. No, she would. Because she'd find the same high because she would get that attention. Like, they would be like, Mariah, you helped us. Thank you so much. And she'd get a different... And now, all of a sudden, she wouldn't be getting the hatred where she wouldn't have to booze it up and anesthetize it, maybe. So, no, I disagree. I mean, you could... I mean, listen, a lot... Most of... Unfortunately, I think there's not much difference between Mariah and some of the other people who are on TV. It's just that other than sedating themselves, they've gone that route of, oh, aren't I so good? I'm helping everybody when they're just as heinous and narcissistic.
I mean, it ended tragically, but we saw that that's what was going on with Whitney Houston. I mean, it's the exact same situation.
You know, and we've seen it. If you watch Sunset Boulevard, you guys, Billy Wilder, great film. It's just perfect. It states it so well, 60 or 70 years ago. You know, it's just kind of how it goes, you know. But it doesn't have to be that way. Anyway, that's just a shout-out that, you know, we all are struggling. I mean, I look at 2016 and, you know... Jim Florentine is a great podcast if you ever want to listen to it. But he went off on all the people who were like, you know, F you 2016, you know, like for all the people who've died, like 2016's to blame. And Sam Roberts was saying today, or I think it was today on his show, he's like, it was a great 2016. It was the best of my life. I mean, Sam went from, you know, executive producer to number two, for all intents and purposes, number two. Host on all the series. Ben, look at you. You know, I was saying, Ash, that you and Rox and, you know, both of you guys, I thought had great 2016s. And we all experienced a ton of tragedy. You know, myself, hitting that awful depression, which I'm still in the like last effects of, and not having my energy level, someone who like me who's always been so proud of how much work I can get done, and all of a sudden I've got this like brain fog and I'm tired and I'm depressed. And yet all of that led to so many great things. You know, I met great therapists, and then those therapists I was able to introduce to other people in need. Like you, Ash. And I grew. But I look at you, Rox, like you experienced a terrible, your first heartache. And you came out of it so strong emotionally, career wise, you know, everything, you know,
I don't think that I'm somebody who looks at things like I've never said that was a really bad year. Not the year my mother passed away. Not the year that.
No.
I got
and I almost think it was a little too much with your mother.
But,
you know, between us, I feel like that got a little swept under the rug.
Possibly, am I saying that 365 days were a bad year. Like, that's just not the way that I look at things. Were there bad days in 2016? Yeah, there were 2 weeks where I vomited every morning I woke up and every night when I went to bed and couldn't eat anything and cried every second that I wasn't on camera and couldn't even had to pull over on the side of the road calling you. Like, were there days that I was like, fuck this, I'm done? Yes.
And your executive producer at Tomorrow Show telling you, don't bring it to work. Not Christian Black.
No, I was going
to
say, hold on.
The other one.
Yeah. I was just rewatching
that. That was someone at 32.
I just rewatched back that episode because I wanted to remind myself of some things. And I forgot that Jared told me, like, you know, I just really don't take that kind of stuff to work. I leave that stuff at home, as anybody should.
That You know what that is?
Didn't tell me that.
You know what that is? No, listen. But with Jared, that's a... someone who's been trained in the traditional, you know, business 101 model of work, leave it at home.
But also the style of broadcasting he was sort of indoctrinated by, which is
Jared.
Sam Roberts, Opie and Anthony,
yeah.
You know, that whole thing.
Right.
It is sort of like, you know, nobody gives a shit.
Or they would even say, bring it and let's tear you to shreds on the air and use it. But not understanding that, and God, the older I get, and I'm starting to hear this from more philosophers and people I trust, that we are all connected. So everyone in this room is connected. And then, believe it or not, you guys, people working at Starbucks, the people, my friends at Coffee Bean that, you know, I love, that I see before we do the show, Mondays and Thursdays, we're all connected. You know, we are all connected. So I don't see when, you know, your coworker or someone comes in and, you know, wants to kill themselves, like, you know, put that aside. Like, no, you know, like there's ways to say, hey, put it into the show. You know, Rox, put it into the creative and you'll feel better. And yeah. You did. But it wasn't, it was just, it's just a knee jerk reaction for what you read in a management book. Mm-hmm. And it just, doesn't work. It worked in the 40s and 50s when, unfortunately, America, we were just programmed to just shut up, get whipped in the back. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't work anymore. And,
right.
But we are all connected.
But, yeah, we are.
No matter what.
To bring it full circle, that means that there's no, it's a bad year. There were bad days, absolutely. But anybody who's having a good day, and since we are all connected, it means that there are good days for everybody and bad days for everybody, and that should affect each other. And so I think that there were some really strong parts of 2016 for you, for me, for everybody in the booth.
Everybody here grew incredibly. If I went through this whole, all of us, and we start, you know, where we began, not forget the Tomorrow Show, but as individuals and where we are now. But it's still hard. The road ahead is going to be hard for all of us, but I just want to caution about that. When you see certainly my stuff or Maria's stuff or any or your friend's stuff, it's just know that, you know, that's only half their life. Maybe Ash, what would you say percentage of the what that represents in an average Instagram or person's life? Or
just judging by how many people I know, because, you know, everybody opens up to me, so I know the truth about most of the people out here. And it's honestly, it's got to be about 20% of their life. You don't understand how much effort goes into even editing one photo as a blogger. How they use like 6 or 7 apps just for one picture.
Wow.
And how they plan their Instagram posts 2 months in advance, 3 months in advance, using another type of app. So everything is made to look. So they're pretending they're in Aspen during this time of the year, but they're not in Aspen. Oh. They went to Aspen during the time that it's cheaper to go to Aspen.
Right.
So it's all for you to see.
But you can also literally, like a professional, change your facial expressions. So you could be sitting there and not be smiling, and you can go in and make it so that your eyes are smiling, your mouth is smiling, your hand's in a different place, you're smaller, you're looking like whatever. You write a fun caption on it, all of a sudden.
So I say artificial identity.
Yes.
So now do you understand what I'm saying about
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely.
It's like, there's no way that doesn't mess with your own head. And there's no way that the followers... There's no way it doesn't mess with their heads.
For the most part, from what I'm hearing, because I'm so fascinated by it, a lot of the people that I've spoken to have said it's given them more confidence because they're living this fake life and it makes them feel better.
Okay, here's the thing. But Ash, it's a drug. Right. It's no different than the drug that if Mariah's on, whatever, it's alcohol, whatever, it's a drug. It's not real. It's Spectre's.
Yeah.
So you are on thin ice. You're not having a strong foundation. You know, your self-esteem, if it's based on fake pictures. I mean, Rox, you have a higher IQ than me. Is that healthy?
Can't be.
Right?
Can't be. I mean, it hasn't been a long round enough for us to do studies on it, but can't be.
Can't be.
At a certain point, you're burying the truth, and it will come out to yourself. Like, you know what the real thing is behind that picture, no matter what everyone else thinks. And at a certain point, it has to get to you.
Right.
And it will. I mean, and what they do is they chase it away with more and more. You know.
Just the fact that we're addicted to just holding our phones. I know Rich went to the WME retreat last week, my boyfriend, and he mentioned that one of the big things they had a huge discussion on to the entire company was keeping your phones out of the bedroom, completely out of the bedroom, so you can't use it at night.
People have a bed for their phone in another room now.
They're selling
phone beds.
Yep. So he doesn't have his phone anymore at all in there.
I'm so proud of him.
Yeah, because he's, you know him. He's always like on his emails till 2 in the morning.
And we, you know, and Tony Robbins spoke to them, and Maria was able to coordinate that with.
You spoke to him a lot too this past few weeks.
Yeah,
he's changed a lot.
Yeah. Well, you know, gave him some of the examples, and I think Tony really got him.
Oh, he did. Big time. He quotes Tony to me all the time
I'm
now.
I'm so like, hot, proud of him.
I'm like, oh my God.
No, because Rich has what it takes to run WME.
Yeah.
And the Rich's biggest problem was Rich. Mm-hmm. Not the little maggots who are going to try and hold him down because they're jealous of him and how good he is. It's Rich. And listen, he's in good company. What did I just say to you at coffee with Maria? What? You know, I said, you know, with Maria's career and, you know, the only, really the only thing in Maria's way is Maria.
Oh, wow.
You know, there. Yes, there's these other people that are going to politic behind the scenes, and they're all going to do that. But, you know, between the network she owns and all the multiple properties we have, you know, it's just up to her.
Yeah.
You know,
that's a great point.
And not letting the emotions get her. And yeah, and it's tough. For, you know, we speaking of the girls' lounge, we learned. God, we went to the girls' lounge at CES. Shelly Zales runs this group. It's kind of a women's empowerment.
But so not in that way. So you've been talking about the girls' lounge and Shelly Zales on right. this show for months now. And I've kind of sat here, and I have a feeling that a couple other people, too, have sat here being like, oh, they talk about women. That's what they must do there. I didn't get it at all until I went. Like, had no idea what this actually was going to be.
And still all these years, not you're so much like Maria, not listening to me.
Oh, trying to, but not being able to conceptualize what you were talking about.
Oh, there's a picture of everyone.
Oh, I haven't seen this.
Yeah.
Where is this?
So what Shelly organized was 100 women to walk the floor of CES.
And men.
Amen.
Yeah, there's Kevin right there. You see him.
And there
he
is
really wanted
men.
To be in the picture.
So remember when we started the show and I thought I knew your mind and you were saying there were two and I said three and you said two. You don't even know what I'm going to say.
Right.
I thought you were going to say 2017 started amazing because three of the Tomorrow Show staff members got to go to the Girls Lounge because this has stuck with me. I've thought about it. Every
knew,
second of every day.
I knew it
every
was going to change your life.
So obviously, as a millennial, I thought you were about to talk about me. So that's why I said three. I know where you're going with this.
No, the
three.
first change in your life was meeting me on the plane.
Yep.
The second one was the girls' lounge.
This
and
was unbelievable. Like, I cannot shut the fuck up. I will talk to anybody who will listen about it. I've been pulling out my notebook, which is in my bag, and being like, well, according to the girl, like, I'm obnoxious about it. But it was really cool. So the event has – can I explain a little bit what it is?
Sure, go ahead.
So we go, and it's kind of an in-and-out kind of thing. People come, they leave. It's all day long. There's breakfast, there's a lunch, and a dinner, but very casual. And there's different female speakers and male speakers that come throughout the day and just talk about their experience in the industry or whatever industry they're in. Because we're at CES, the Consumer Electronics Show, a lot of that is tech. So people from Yahoo, people from Google, people from Spotify, people from Sonos, people from all over came, and also huge celebrities too. I mean, we got to talk to some
Debbie
really
Gibson,
great people.
You know, I is a friend of mine, and I said to Debbie, because you know she had some health issues the last couple of years, and now she's feeling better and strong. And you know, and I said, listen, I'm going to get you with Shelly's house. I want you to go to the Girls Lounge. I said, Just give. And she's like, I'm in. So she gave, she taught some of the underprivileged kids music.
Amazing.
And then she played a private concert for some of the biggest executives in the business.
Right.
And Shelly loved having her there. And Debbie was like, no, this was amazing.
Gigi Gorgeous also came. And she is, has 2 million followers and is huge in the LGBTQ community. There was just really inspiring people there.
And Shelly, it's great because Shelly, you know, she says femmen, and she capitalizes M-E-N, is because she's like, it's not about we're better than men, and it's not about excluding the men. It's working with them.
Well, she says we literally can't do it without them. We're 50% of the population. We need the men in order to
write jokes and forgive you sperm.
Exactly.
Like on South Park.
Exactly.
Sorry.
That's all we need them for.
But she... I just her philosophy. It's not. I don't want to misrepresent her. Her philosophy is not the feminazi thing. She's the coolest chick. She's like, no, we got to work together.
And she said, you know, I'm sick and tired of talking about gender equality. I'm sick and tired.
I don't want to talk about it.
I don't want to talk about it.
Let's just do it.
Let's do it.
And
it was so just amazing. And it was so great too because, like you've been talking about, men they go grab beers and that's how you network. But I watched the networking happening because people were getting their nails done. They're getting their makeup done. They're getting their hair done. Right. They hired a headshot person to come take people's headshots for their business cards. But, like, while this is all happening, you turn to the person next to you and you're like, so? With your nails out, getting them done. So what do you do? Oh, so I'm the COO at Spotify. What do you do? Oh, you know, I run all the stuff over CES. This is what we're doing there. This is our booth. You should stop by.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Like,
and the spirit, what? And the spirit is work together.
Yes.
Not burn each other down. And that's something in Hollywood that's gone on forever. And I feel like in business, that's a big thing too, where it's been about the alpha knocking down the betas. You know, it's, there's a new philosophy that, you know, we talk about all the time, collaboration, not exploitation. And it's working together. It's wanting Zach to get that promotion at another company. It's wanting Christian to move on to something greater, and rooting for everybody. And, you know, Maria's saying it all the time, like, you know, a couple of young hosts came to her crying last night at the party, you know, about their careers, and name people who I can't say. And Maria said, listen, you know, gave them all the right advice. And then they paused and said, you know, we can't believe, we know you've been messed with so much. We know the people who've done it. And yet you still smile at work. And all you do is try to help everybody here. And Maria's response was like, you know, why wouldn't I? You know, we all have different talents. Look at the four of us in this room. We're all different. Everyone here has a different voice, a different look. Like, and that's Maria's thing, is like, we all bring something different to the table. We don't have to burn each other down. And I feel like that's where I see the division, at least in Hollywood. I think half of us are like, hey, let's work together. And then the other half is like, no, I have to be the king or the queen, and you're my enemy, so I have to burn you down. I have to kill you.
Do you think that mostly comes from the way you're raised, or from who your first boss is, or just who you are as a person?
I know, oh, Rox, that's a...
Well, for me personally, this is why Shelley's my...
Bonjour, Juliet! Come on, come on, Juliet!
I feel... Shelley is kind of my Tony Robbins in a way. I was very fortunate to go talk to her and thank her. And it was a very special moment because basically, you know, it was as a woman to go up to another woman and tell her, you helped me grow so much and have changed my life in such amazing ways, was really life-changing. I first met her when I was doing Maria's show. I was an intern. I kind of didn't really know what was to come, if I was going to go back to France, if I was going to stay here. Like, everything was all up in the air. And when I was facing people who were around the same age as me, I'd feel kind of insecure when they would succeed at something. It would make me question myself and be like, oh, okay, darn, you know, what are you doing? You need to be upping your game. And what, going back to that same thing about building each other up, what Shelley had said, she was saying, well, for a very long time, we don't really see women in a high position. We only see a few. So we've been conditioned to think, oh, there's only room for very, very little.
Right.
And that's not the case. We need to be changing that. There's going to be room for everyone.
You know, African Americans, well, so Dario Kristen, who's the president of Black Hollywood Live, was, you know, we had that discussion a while ago. He said, you know, Kevin, no, blacks outwardly support one another, but inwardly, he said, we really don't. And I said, really? I said, why? He said, well, because we believe that there's so few positions for us that we have to fight, yeah, cats and dogs to keep that.
Yeah, only one can make it, but we're here to change that. So I'm very happy you let us go to the girls' lounge. Lots of good things happen there.
Yeah, I knew. You know, and I was saying, too, we drove in the van, the Cadillac minivans.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's, again, going back to the present, you know, that's, when I went to Mexico, one of the things I did is I read about five books. Maria wants me to write another book with her, and I said to her, you know, it's a book career based for women, and I said, I'm confident, Maria, with what you know and what I know, we can write an amazing book. I'm like, but let me read everyone else's book on all different kinds of success. I really want to go deep like this, so I literally ordered about 30 books, you know, that I have to go through, and I read five of them and so far. And fortunately, most of the stuff that I would write about, you know, it's on par. But one of the things that that I learned in therapy with in my kinesiology is how, and I think I've talked about this before, how the past just isn't real. The future is barely real. It's the present. And where I think one of the books I read said that 85%, maybe 90%, this is by a scientific study, of the things that we worry about in the future are bullshit. It's just nothing.
Like they never happen, you mean?
It's not going to happen. It's not. It's nothing to worry about. You know, look at Ashley worrying about, I don't want to keep going to parties. Then, like, you know what I mean? Like she can't even enjoy. Her mind already went to, oh my God, but then if I go to too many parties, then I'm going to get too into drinking and I'm going to get too, like, you think that's real? No. But that's but we all do that. And so 90% of the things that we're worrying about, there's a scientific study that shows that it's meaningless, you know? So in our house, Lisa, the mother I have in my life and Maria's mother and literally that, again, Ash, we've talked about this. I don't know a more generous, sweeter, or kinder person than Lisa. And she's got stage four, brain cancer. And that's real. But getting back to the philosophy, all the great philosophers will, say, and even the modern ones are saying how important it is to just embrace the present. What we're doing right now. But even that van ride, that's why Maria was a little cranky the first quarter of it, and it got me mad. That's why I wanted her sitting in the back. I'm like, because you're thinking, you're worried about the future. Do we do this? Do we call that person? And then, when we get to see it, and I'm like, please just go to the back, because I want to enjoy the four-hour ride in the Cadillac of minivans. And was that not a great and productive ride?
To and from.
Right? And so, Julia, you weren't in the ride with us, but Kelly was. And we vented about things. We talked creative. We had creative breakthroughs.
And I secretly, on my phone, had a list of questions and things that I was just so excited to get the two of your ears on to talk about. And I kept just like, check, got that. Yeah. Because we don't get that much time.
That's right.
And I care so – I think you guys have – smart people learn from people who've been through it. Well, and you guys have been through it.
Well, it's one of the things, again, in success books, there's written over and over again, Maria wrote in her first book, too, you just want older, more successful people around you.
Right.
Like, that's how you challenge yourself. That's how you grow.
And you guys are my mentors. So I try to be a smart person. And I try to, when I have time with you, actually ask the valuable questions. But even whether it's something like I need advice with this, my career thing, or even stupid shit like, Maria, you always look amazing. How do you stay tan? Things like literally
right.
and like
she
that.
She showed you the how to like, do the fake tan without streaking.
She's
right?
like, here's the product I use. Here's how you order it. Here's how you use it. And I was like, great. And then went on my phone and ordered it and now have it. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm so excited to start this tomorrow. Right. So even stupid shit that you're like, oh,
and again,
anybody.
Even the tan thing is not about vanity. It's about you're exhausted. We're all working like 20 hours a day. And you put that on.
And it's my job
glow.
To be on camera.
That's right. And it also makes you feel a little better, which
yes.
makes you perform better. And that's all proven as well.
Right. So it has. That's a stupid small
but it's
one.
Enjoying the, but it rocks. It's enjoying the present. Our coffee we just had,
yes.
I was really down and you lifted me up and gave me great advice, but it's just enjoying those moments in the present because the present's real. The past, it's not real. And
yeah.
We all of us, oh my God, I'm tortured by my past. I'm just, but it's not real.
And to
it's truly specters.
To hear, because I always think like, oh, it will get easier, and then I won't have any problems. But then to hear the day-to-day issues that you and Maria have, like with life, with Lisa, with whatever is going on.
But even the business stuff. When
and
you were finding
business.
About the politics, you were shocked. You're like, what?
Right.
Like, no.
Just hearing all that and me figuring out, okay, so this is how I maneuver that. So this is the way to caress that. So this is the way that you ease into that. It was really interesting, and you're right, living in the present.
Just live in the present. And the other thing, too, and again, it's going to sound cliche, but seeing great people see obstacles as opportunities. So,
Kevin, to go along with that, the study I found said that 85% of subjects, what they worried about never happened. And to go along with what you're saying now, the 15% that did, 79% discovered that either they could handle it better than expected or it taught them a lesson worth learning. So it's the attitude of knowing that if you can't handle something, you're going to be able to handle it and it's going to teach you something.
Well, that's the whole thing is that obstacles, you know, really are your opportunities. You're not... there's no way you're going to grow in life without change. And as much as it's comfortable, you know, things are comfortable, whatever. You, if you look at, all, you know, Rox, you came out of your breakup such a better person. You know, Ash, your year, same thing. Came out a better person. Myself, I came out a better person. And, you know, we can say it after the fact, mm-hmm. but now it's really, if we can be highly evolved, it's to know now when obstacles come in or bad things happen, we go, okay, mm-hmm. it's another challenge. You know, Maria just she's had some twit executive that gave her shit about 10 years ago and now suddenly popped back into her life, you know, today. And we haven't gone over it yet. And I said, now, Maria, this is an opportunity. This is not an obstacle. Because you're on this great path. You're working with doing more work with Tony Robbins. Your mother has given you clarity on what real problems are versus bullshit. And I said, I'm excited for you to deal with this because I want to see how you've evolved and you've grown. But again, this is not an obstacle. It's an opportunity. And if you can just do that in your mind, and I know you guys, it sounds cliche, and I know. It's easier said than done, but truly, if you look back at all your problems in life and you didn't cut corners with the pain, you didn't medicate it, you didn't jump into some other relationship for security, whatever it was, if you really went through it, there's no way you didn't come out a better person from it. And so knowing that in your brain, just be like, okay, this, you know, this is not an obstacle. This is an opportunity or it's a challenge. You know, okay, hey, it's another challenge. I mean, Maria's mother's illness. I'm like, okay. And there was some people I had to, you know, deal with that didn't really want the best interest for me. In fact, wanted quite the contrary. But I had to deal with them because of Lita's illness. I said, okay. 5 years ago, I would have been freaked out and said, why me? But instead, I was like, you know what? I got this. This is just another of life's challenges. I'm going to figure it out.
Well, like you say, and I don't know if I'm quoting you exactly, but you say you can only see the light when you're in darkness. That's when you see the light.
Again, cliche,
but I say that all the time now, and I think about that all the time. Even when something little comes up, I'm like, oh, and I have to look for the blessing within that. And like I think Tony Robbins says that everything's blessing.
It is. Well, you know, Maria's got some new staff, and she's loving them, you know, new group of people and they're working on some project, you know, clothing line or whatever. And I said, you know, Maria, you know, when we did a clothing line years ago, it wasn't so good. And I go, but you see, because it wasn't so good, that's why you appreciate this new group. Now you would not have had you not, you know, dealt with the shit. So it's really, you know, looking at these things as opportunity. Again, Shelley's a winner. Trump gets elected and half the people go, okay, I want to move from this country. I want to kill myself, whatever. Shelley, who runs the girls' lounge, this is somebody you thought would be totally up in arms. You know what she said? You know what? I know Ivanka. I want to get to her. There's the Women's Initiative. You know what? Why can't I get hired to do that job? And why can't I do an amazing effing job at that? And Trump's a businessman. He's only going to want someone to be successful. I'm going to let me get in that position to be successful. You know, and there's going to be bad with this and there's going to be good too. And even the bad is going to raise awareness for the good. Like that's, you know, Russell Simmons, who's been on the show here before. Same thing. His attitude was like, hey, we lost. I buried this guy. And you know what? I can continue trying to bury him. Or you know what? I can... Remember the guy who wrote the foreword for so many of my books or vice versa. And the guy I talked to in private supported gay marriage, supported minorities, supported women in business. That, you know, I want to try to get that. I want to do my best to get that guy You know, rather than, you know, like a like John Legend, who, you know, he wanted to hang himself. I don't know if you saw him on the Bill Maher show. You probably saw Christian.
Yeah.
And I saw John at the Kardashian Christmas party. And I said, John, it was so moving to see you, so emotional. Bless you. To see you so emotional, the fact that you couldn't even talk. I said, but at the same time, you're John Legend. Like, it's you. We got to figure this out. And when we talked more at length, he said, listen, domestically, we're going to be okay. He goes, I think he'll fix a lot of the economy. He's like, I'm just worried globally and getting more into war. And that I made the mistake of saying to him, well, you know what? I look at it this way. We survived Bush, the 8 years of Bush. We can survive anything. And he's like, yeah, you and I survived. What about all the body bags that came home? And what about this other knucklehead who shot everyone up in Fort Lauderdale?
Yeah.
Yeah, think of all the and he's right. Like, so... But at the same time, I'm like, but John, you can't put your head in the sand. You can't put your head down. You gotta raise up, you know. And
what do you think, Kevin, about raising up like that when you have a platform? Because speaking of doing something like that, Meryl Streep last night at the Golden Globe, she spoke up, and there's so much controversy about it.
There should be no controversy.
You think that any None. Celebrity should be allowed to say?
Yes, and there should be no controversy. It's America. You're supposed to be able to say what you want. And she was speaking to fellow artists, and so when she said, listen, you know, if it wasn't for us, you would only have football and MMA. And I was like, I don't know how bad that would be. MMA and football is kind of cool. but I love, no, listen, I'm your ultimate civilian, because I love it all. I love movies and TV, as you know, and I also love football and I love UFC. But you know, when she talked about our future president making fun of the
disabled person.
Yeah, it was just kind of like, oh, and I got sad inside, you know, and I felt bad for the person he made fun of. And especially when she worded it that the haves, you know, shitting on the have-nots, yeah, and bullying them. And I come from a place where I think the haves should be protecting the have-nots and that made me sad, and that's why I actually like Revenge of the Nerds, despite that one scene, because it's about the haves shitting on the poor have-nots, and the have-nots having their one little moment and getting their one little victory. But I got very sad when I heard that part, and I thought her message was beautiful, and it doesn't mean that we shouldn't see her films if we're against her, and if we're for her, it doesn't mean Trump should be impeached. I thought it was very poignant and
brought me to tears.
Yeah, me too. I got choked up a little bit. I did.
I was at AfterBuzz and we were between shows watching it, and a couple of engineers and I just, even men who, you know, I mean, not to be stereotypical, so it's harder for them to cry at times. Same thing. She really touched a lot of souls.
No, and all of Hollywood, everybody hung on her every word.
Mm-hmm. They're so captivating.
And, you know,
it was about coming together and standing up for people who have a voice that can do something with that voice, or for people who don't have a voice, protecting freedoms.
But the ones with the voices fucked up because they judged anyone that would do a Trump vote as a Neanderthal, as a misogynist, as a racist, as a piece of shit.
Well, they didn't just judge. They told you they judged. They actually lectured you and said, right, you know, if you do this.
Labeled you and eviscerated you.
And so, to everyone's point, of course she should be able to say this. And, you know, everyone can agree with her if they want to. They're also entitled to be as upset as they are. But, you know, at the end of the day, what did it really change? People felt a little bit better. And you still have to figure out a constructive way to go forward in the next 4 years.
Had they engaged, and it wouldn't have gone that way. But they didn't engage. They just judged and they labeled. And, you know, and it's just what, you know, I was joking today on Maria's show, and it probably went over it. The stuff I say on that show doesn't really play so well. But even as Trump is hiring a lot of his people,
I thought it was hilarious.
I feel like
I didn't get a chance to say anything.
I feel like it's the Christian Bale Batman with Bane. And remember when Bane took over Gotham City,
yeah,
and he put the Scarecrow in charge of like this? And so I feel like Trump is putting in like all these like mini arch villains, you know, in positions of power, which is
the Riddler's in charge of housing and urban development. You know, King Tut is going to probably manage the banks. You feel like he'd be good at it.
Yeah, I think he'd do a good job. Even the reality star there, who I guess off camera seems very nice. Who is the African American girl who fought with Janice? Omarosa. But, you know, just watching her in action on all of her shows, it was someone who was hot air, but it didn't feel like there was the real substance to back it up. And she's going to get a significant role. And, okay, but I do know he put some really smart people in power, too, which was, okay, so we're offsetting. But these reactionary tweets, it's like,
His reactionary tweets?
Yes. It's this is what's just making me go, come on. Like, if I were running his show, I'd be like, Donald, you're the president. You're supposed to be the one to rise above and go, you know what? Meryl Streep is a legend. And she's entitled to her opinion. But, you know, I just want to continue to be focused on the problems at hand and fixing the problems. And that's what you say. And I feel like whether you like Obama or not, Christian, he always kind of put out that sentiment. You know, he was kind of, I felt like he rose above this. And I feel like our leaders should do that.
Yeah, he'd save it for the White House Correspondents' Dinner. And it was still relatively good-natured with Obama. And, yeah, it's, you know, I said this during the campaign. What they needed to do was take Donald's device, the president-elect's device, and let him think it's connected to the internet. So he thinks that he's tweeting it out. He gets it off his chest. And it doesn't go anywhere. So you were able to preserve the image of being presidential. But in actuality,
that's scary because, again, with that, the wheels come off the wagon because he's not learning anything.
Yeah. That's true.
But I feel like he's a businessman, and I just feel like the right person. I don't know why I'm just overly optimistic. Like, I just feel like if I were his guy, I'd be able to say to him, listen, remember what the goal is. We want to succeed at this. Like, this going at Meryl Streep, it's not going to do it. Now, when he goes at China, even though that stuff could be seen as holy shit scary.
Yeah.
If you really peel the layers away, we owe China so much money that we got China kind of by the balls. If you know anything about business, you know, they need us. They're not.
We need to do well.
They're
they
not
need
dropping
us to
it. And when he calls them out and goes, you know what? We've been the ones always sticking our necks out against Korea and Iran. And you just kind of sit back and make tons of money off us and let us fight the goon battles and be the bad guys. Wait, no. And he calls them to task. I don't mind that. That's where I like the cowboy shaking it up a little bit. But, you know, then when I see this stuff, it's like, oh, come on, Mr. Trump.
There are also moments that I see that there is so much more strategy to his emotional, you know, outbreaks on Twitter, for instance.
But even this one, Ash?
Well, no, but like when he was talking about The Apprentice last week and saying how Arnold Schwarzenegger is not a star
even
like his. But there's a business tactic behind that because I'm reading TMZ and I'm seeing Kyle Richards saying if you don't like Trump, go and watch the show, bring us ratings. And then I thought to myself, but wait, Trump is the executive producer of the show still. So as much as we're all thinking that he's trying to,
is that true?
He's executive producer of the show, but it's not very known. He wants you guys to watch the show. So
I don't think he does. No, he doesn't.
He's the EP of the show.
It doesn't matter, Boo. I'm EP of several shows, and usually
I've talked to a lot of EPs. I've never seen even one episode of a show.
You get a ham sandwich.
Really? But don't you think that at this point he's giving them ratings by even tweeting about it?
Nope. With his ego, no way. He wants it to totally fail, and them to be like it's only the Donald. He's not
really?
Seeing it that way. No.
I mean, he's
going to
need
because
another job
so much,
in 5 or 9
he's got
years,
so much success in other areas that, no, he's only seeing that. And he's going to get his EP fee no matter what. And if it fails, and Christian's right, in 5 years.
Or nine.
He's going to step right back in, and it's going to be bigger than ever. So, no, he wants to show.
I think that after being president of the United States,
and
Donald Trump.
And shall I let you finish? Go ahead.
I'm not saying no. I'm asking, honestly, do you think that that's what he'll do, go back to being The Apprentice?
Roxy, a reality star is president of the United States. Do you doubt anything anymore? Do you doubt anything anymore? I doubt nothing. I don't. He might fucking bring back Cats and star in it for cry eye. I don't know.
That would be amazing.
No, but seriously.
He ends some of his tweets with, not like that's who's our president. He's ending his stuff. He's off his rocker. You're right. I don't know why I doubted it. But do you think it's stranger to go from being reality star to president or president to reality star?
I just think it's all changing. And I would not doubt if, like, an Obama, you know, Obama's like Jesus. He's on a whole different
path. I'd love to see a Bill Clinton reality show. It would be amazing.
I could see, you know, you never know, like, where's Hillary go from here? Poor Hillary. Where does she go from here? So maybe she would do, you never know.
Some are saying she might run for mayor of New York. That was a rumor.
They had that same rumor about her husband. I don't know. That's a step down beyond reality show star.
I don't think so.
Can you go from being the president to being the mayor?
I mean, you can do whatever you want.
I'd send her to Chicago.
That would be great.
700 shootings twice as great as the year before. I think, they need the help. But
this is a weird world, man.
You know, as Yogi Cameron, who is on Maria's show often, and, you know, sorry to be Illuminati on you guys. He works with Ellen and Oprah and all, but he's an incredible guy. And he just said, you know, they're very zen, those guys, you know, how they see things. It's not like, oh, my God, this is bad. Or, oh, my God, this is amazing. It's just, it is what it is. And he just said, it's just, he's perfect for the times.
Do you think combining two of the things we've talked about with the current state of happiness for both Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, you know, reaching after that next thing, you talk about how could you go from the president to reality star. Do you think they're happy in their current state then, or they're constantly reaching just like everyone else who's famous?
Constantly reaching. Of course, it's a drug. You know, it's not oxytocin. There's something it's proven that happens in your brain, you know, with even social media and tweets and things like that. But no, it's feeding it. And for sure. And that's why you see that a lot of people in those positions can't live without it. And that's why they get so vicious. And there's a lot of stars. I'll go back to that, man. You want to see the real person, go ahead. I was talking to Michael Strahan about this, too, at my party. I was like, you know, you want to see some of these people, go ahead. You want to see how nice they are? Oh, hi, look at they give away a car on their show, and they're dancing. And, oh, they love everybody. Mm-hmm. You just infringe just a little bit on their power or their fame. You watch that mask fall off. Watch the fangs come out and the claws, and guys and girls. And the guys are worse because they're munts, which, as we know, is a male
cunt.
And
was I not supposed to say it?
No, you can. And when you're a munt, you have all the, you have the scorn of a woman, but with the strength of the testosterone of a male. So it's far worse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think it's the woman when they're like PMSing to make it even worse. It's
yeah.
like a woman who's PMSing
but now
and
with
the strength of a man.
Of a man, forget it.
Yeah, you're done. Bye.
Anyway, this was what happened since we've been away, right?
A lot.
You know, it's funny because it's the end of the... I feel like there's a time here, too, between the end of the holidays. I feel like we can squeak out. We got Super Bowl. That's fun. We got Oscars, you know, and then I feel like there's just a dead, you know, for most people, it feels like there's a dead spot until the spring, especially if you're not in L.A.
I was just going to say,
and
the East Coast,
just
it's just
mud,
horrible,
awful.
Every day. From February until about May, it's terrible.
Terrible.
What about St. Patrick's Day?
Well, that's what I mean. I think that we have to be, like, our jobs here is, like, let's space it out. We got to keep the fun going.
What did you, last St. Patrick's Day, you decorated this whole place. Remember, it was all green.
That was our first show, I think.
That was our first show. It was so beautiful.
Oh, Jesus. So we just got a message that Maria thinks baby needs to go to the hospital because she took a bad fall.
It's one of their dogs.
Can someone bring baby in here, please?
Do you want me to go get baby?
No, they're going to go get her.
Maria's grabbing her.
Maria's grabbing her. Okay. You know what? We'll cut to a commercial, you guys. When we get back, I found a video that will show where it all went wrong. The beginning.
Life?
Yeah, the beginning, the early seeds, Christian, you're going to agree, of where it started with our generation.
Yeah.
And I think this is why we raised, this generation raised the millennials the way they did. But
there has to be a moment, and I can't wait to see what
it
is.
Yeah, I think I found it. and we'll have closing thoughts, and let's hope baby's okay. Just quick commercial, you guys, And we'll be right back. TheTomorrowShow.com. Back on The Tomorrow Show. To sing out, Yeah, Little Cat Stevens. Christian, is that you?
I was not involved in this decision.
Wait, Lauren LaGrasso.
Yes.
Did you? How do you know Cat Stevens?
Harold and Maude. I love him.
He was amazing.
Yeah, he's amazing. And I know all of his songs. I love him.
Yeah, close to my story. Lost his mind somewhere along the line.
Well,
And they kind of got it back now.
Really?
Yeah, because it looks like he needed money. He went back out and toured as, you know, Cat Stevens slash Yusef. And he dropped the Islam. He changed his name to Yusef Islam. And he's just Yusef.
Is he still extreme Muslim?
I think he's a lot less extreme.
Is he in our country or?
He gets around. But he played some
England,
dates
right?
in the U.S. last year.
He did?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. And he played his old catalog?
Yeah.
We should go.
He had in a while.
I wonder, look at let's see where he's touring. I would love to see him play. But every time I would see him, he would have on the kind of his Islamic garb. Like clothing, like to see.
And he was declaring death to Salman Rushdie and things like that. That's a good 28, 29
so do you
years
think,
ago.
Can I get the cat with the long hair and the
you
beard?
Can get,
and,
like, well, he definitely has the beard. It's a lot longer than it used to be, but it's still a wild world, you know? It's all right. You'll get the cat you want.
I want the cat with the jeans and the folk guitar. You know, I don't want the.
You'll have to sit through a couple of songs that you know it's guitar.
Oh, look at so he does. Can we find some pictures? 50th anniversary tour.
That's a side view. Let me see if I can get anything full frontal.
Yes, please.
Yeah, he's amazing. I would love to take Karen. Anyway, we're gonna. The Tomorrow Show is gonna cut a little short tonight. My little baby fell, 17 years young, fell, had a little fall.
That's his dog.
She's crying. Her name is Baby, so although she is my baby as well, I think it's just a bruise, but I still want to take her to get X-rayed. There's Yusef.
I feel like you always stay so calm during these things, Kev. Like. I'm not saying there is reason to flip out, but no matter what happens, you're always like...
He has to, because you have to balance it out, because, you know, Maria is going to be a little bit more emotional just because she's a girl and we get, like, a little bit more scared and whatever. He has to balance it out.
Maria's lawyer said a long time ago, you know, that he's like, you know, how does Tom Brady do it? And I didn't know what he meant by that. He's like, you know, he's got 30 or 40 gorillas, you know, that are, like, you know, 300 pounds... literally trying to kill him, take his head off all at once. And the reason he succeeds is because he stays calm. So you have to, like, you know, you have to try to stay calm in moments of crisis, because then you can think clearly. So any, like, great leader I knew, even in the carny business, my bosses, you know, would be like, you know, stands would literally go up in flames with giant propane tanks. And when I first came into the business, and they stayed so calm that it got to the point where when it happened to me at Lollapalooza, there ended up being a grease fire, and like the tent was literally starting to go up in flames. And myself and my crew of carnies, fellow carnies, everyone just stayed nice and calm, just a couple of little zips of the of the extinguisher, not like blowing the extinguisher everywhere, making a big smoke show, just a little zip, 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 shoo, 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 you know, Windex came out, cleaned up a little bit, right back to sales. But you have to, you learn, but again, and again, these are books I've been reading in the new year, that's a choice. And that's another thing too, like we have choices. So a lot, right now, I could choose to be hysterical about it, or I can choose to say, okay, I'm going to stay calm. I'm going to get to the doctors, and it's going to be fine. There's a choice there, and a lot of people don't realize that they have that choice. You know, you can get dumped by your boyfriend, and believe it or not, you have a choice in how you're going to handle that. You know, you can choose to not get out of bed. You can choose to medicate. You can choose to go find another boyfriend just to fill the void. You know, or you can choose to, you know, deal with it, go through it, In a more healthy way. But choices. Bring up the most important person. This is a great way to take it out. I found this YouTube thing. And this used to play when I was a kid. So this is probably even before you, Christian. But this would play on Saturday mornings. Pause. This would play on Saturday mornings. And even I remember when this played as a kid, I was completely confused by this message because it was so foreign to our generation. And I can see where this was the beginning of the millennials and the entitlement and everyone gets a trophy for just participating. This was the beginning seed. So I want you guys to just watch this video. Again, this was playing Saturday mornings when I was a kid. Press play.
The most important person in the whole wide world is you, and you hardly even know you. The most important person in the whole wide world is you. Come on, we'll show you. Let's find out more about the things you feel and do, 'cause you're the most important person in the world to you.
Pause. So this one, this particular episode of Most Important Person is, oops, I made a mistake. But I remember hearing that, and I'm like, no. My priest, my nun, my parents told me that I'm not important, that I'm the least important person in the world. Like, who, I remember being so confused by this. See, you guys are not at all confused by
no,
that.
No, but I mean, I have a different mentality. And when you heard that other parents would tell their kid, well, you can do anything. No, you can't.
No, you can't.
You can do some things. You know, you should strive
you
for greatness.
You can do anything.
But you can't do anything.
Yeah, and good luck to you. Because you'll
play
end up
basketball.
You'll end up getting screwed in life. You know what I mean? It was like, but even that, like, I remember being confused. What are they talking about? I was so puzzled. The most important person in the whole wide world is you. I'm like, no. There's a lot of people who are more important than me. And you hardly even know you. I'm like, you know, I think I know myself pretty. I think I'm good. You know, I'm good. I was born with original sin. You know, I mean, I get it. Like, anyway, so.
That video is definitely not made by a French person. That's all I have to say to that.
Why do you say that?
Because I relate to you in that way. That's not how I was raised. I'm not the most important person in the world.
But this was completely foreign at the time. And that's why I'm not just joking. This made no sense to any kid watching it at this time. But this was the beginning. This was planting the seeds, and these people went on to become parents, and this is how they
remembered
you
seeing
got
this.
Fucked, and then you guys fucked us.
Exactly. Well, you guys had to come somewhere. Like,
yeah.
No, you're right. It's definitely your parents. All right, so this episode is Oops, I Made a Mistake.
I was cutting with my scissors.
There she is. Doesn't seem like she's doing too much cutting with the animation.
No, same place. Cutting the same place. Move your fucking scissor. Oh, my God.
Cheap animation.
As long as she's having fun.
She's making some progress, guys. Leave her alone.
Okay, here we go. You're right. Sorry. We're shaming her.
And then it happened.
Yes, by the way, could you just see Adam Carolla's reaction to this?
I'd love to.
Oh, he'd be violent, right? Because she made a mistake.
Did that girl become famous? She looks
familiar.
Yeah. Look at, oops, I made a mistake. So look at, we see a kid fall off a bike, an ice cream cone fall on the ground, a drawer.
Helping set the table.
By the way, pause. Okay, we can tell anyone. Tell me about the little boy on the left.
He's a fatty.
He's a little chunky.
This is the beginning of obesity in America.
No, seriously. As well. This is, if you look at, so this is probably 73. If you went to the statistics of little boys who were that size at that time to what it is today, like, anyway, you would see a significant difference in the, in you know, the amount of overweight people.
All
back
his
then
friends called him tiny, and that's
but
just the way it
it's
was.
It's interesting. So I'm, even as a kid, like, wait, who's that guy?
He made a mistake in eating that last donut.
Yeah, I mean, why is he this guy on TV? I'm confused. Okay, press play.
Putting down the silverware and folding every napkin neatly by each plate.
Ooh, off tune.
I got the glasses.
Here he goes.
And I tried to be real careful as I poured the milk, but I was just too late.
And he poured.
Fucking moron.
Roxy!
Something happened. And I felt so bad that I cried and cried.
Pussy.
Totally.
I mean, pause.
It's like he peed himself.
No, by the way, I don't defend what my family did at all. I remember spilling the milk, and It was like I literally played with matches and lit the house on fire.
Oh, yeah. You got the crap kicked out.
Oh, I didn't get hit for it for that particular thing. But I remember the rage in my, and it was, I know they didn't have a lot of money and so I'm not advocating for that. I'm just saying that that's the world I came from. And I just remember being so confused, watching.
But it happened. Something happened.
Please play. Let's play.
I really tried. But you made a mistake.
Whoa, he's put
But I really.
Oh, Sherman.
Anyone. Let's lower the bar. Let's be failures.
Notice none of these kids went and cleaned up the milk.
That's the second time he's fallen.
That's right.
Idiot.
But the message. All right, so that's cool. Building up a building. Oh, is this the Jewish kid, Rox?
No, too blonde.
Yeah.
Total boy.
So okay.
And Jews don't make mistakes.
Then?
He's doing his blocks.
Jews would also contract out this kind of work.
I don't know, he built some pyramids.
Oh, no. And your blocks literally fell over, and this apparently is a major issue.
Yeah, you gotta cry about it.
You gotta cry about it, and we all have to placate to him.
Why has nobody brought him a present yet? I don't get it.
You're right. Where's his participation trophy?
Yeah, the trophy.
Some kids, the bikes.
That's all. Let's continue to fail.
He makes mistakes, but he's got a big heart, right?
Well, the message
deep
of,
down.
Oh, but I tried. It's like, no, yeah. That's not. Okay, funded by the Office of Child Development. Wow. Department of Health, Education, and Welfare.
I love it. It reminds me of, how everybody says back home. Oh, yeah, but,
he's
got a big heart.
Yeah, he's got a wicked big heart.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
Mistakes,
look at Roxy. I just love always the confused face. So there's a whole series of these.
I'm going to watch every single one.
I made a bit.
I think we should find out about these producers, Dan and Elaine Welsberg.
Weisberg.
Okay.
Jewish.
Thank you, Weisberg, for sure.
You're welcome.
Produced by Sutherland Learning Associates. Yeah, you should find. Let's IMDb them. See, these are characters like in the in the credits. I remember those were certain characters they brought back as it progressed. Anyway, you guys, it's 2017.
Woo!
This is officially kicking it off. I think next week we'll have a nice champagne announcement for the Tomorrow Show. We're excited, and hopefully we'll continue to grow. Another thing is goals are good. But again, enjoy the moment, enjoy the process, and
you're the most important person in the world.
That's right.
Don't forget how much you once wanted what you have now.
Okay, he's making less and less sense. Can we shut that mic off?
Who is that? I don't even know who that voice is. I kept hearing it, and I just went with it.
No, I'm letting it go because of our voice of God.
I have to let you guys know that Sutherland Learning Associates produced two things ever. One of them was the most important person, and the other is The Kingdom of Could Be You. We've got to check it out.
Oh, I'm sure it's amazing.
Got to check it out.
We will. And we will. You guys, Thursday, future Mrs. Undergaro, Courtney
Stodden.
What's her name?
Courtney Stodden.
And if you don't know Courtney,
she's the
16-year-old bride of the character actor from Green Mile, right?
Yes, there's a lot of stories behind her. And
now she can be anything she wants to be.
Yeah, she might be the most.
She's the most important person in the world.
Right? I've been following her career since she got married. I think she's fascinating.
I think she is too.
Fascinating.
I'm so with you on that.
I know you are.
And the both of them.
Absolutely.
And she said she has an old soul.
Yes.
That's why.
I watched her on the latest reality show she did. Her mother and their dynamic's very interesting. There's a lot we got to cover.
And she's still with her guy, right?
Yeah, last I heard. I mean, they broke up for a bit, but they got back together.
Well, I'm rooting for them. We'll be drinking with Courtney on Thursday. It's at Roxy Stryer. It's at Miss Ashley Daniels. At Bladcast. At Lauren LaGrasso. At Bonjour Juliette. at ThatZachWilson. And Michael, what's yours?
At Michael Klaus TV for Twitter and at The Only MC for Insta.
You got to get them synced up, brother.
So you can tell
it's
Mike.
Not always
Mike,
easy.
Mike's a new guy. We're hazing. So, you guys, it's Adam Nagaro. And, you know, until Thursday.
Prayers for baby tonight, please.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Thank you. She's going to be okay.
Yeah, she's fine. She'll
until then, you guys, please. I even asked, did we learn anything?
Yeah. I asked Twitter, and yes, everybody's learned a lot, and they're going to be tweeting us the takeaways, but yes.
We learned Adrian, producer of Jim Norton and Sam Roberts.
Goals are good, but enjoy the moment in the process.
Yes, it's more
keep
important.
Keep talking about Adrian, what?
Well, and he got three fingers. He got three fingers in his ass for New Year.
That's true.
And in four to six months, he might find out that he got something else, too.
Ooh.
And she's a porn star.
And until then, make it a better tomorrow.
Thanks for tuning in to The Tomorrow Show with Kevin Undergaro. For guest bookings, questions, or comments, you can email us at info@thetomorrowshow.com. Be sure to follow us on social media and tell a friend about the show. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, your voice of tomorrow, wishing you a better one.